Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Ah, yes, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Who understands that it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage? That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. You've got Mike Pete across the way of the side, Bogus, in for Taz here on this Friday morning. As he has the day off, hopefully he'll be back with us on Monday morning as we take you for another hour right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on car insurance. About 20 minutes from now, we're going to chat with Tommy Bowden, former Clemson head coach, ACC Network and analyst. We'll talk a little college football with him, get his thoughts, even though he doesn't do it on a day-to-day basis, a little SEC. But we'll get his thoughts on Alabama and LSU, the big matchup on Saturday down in Tuscaloosa. With that being said, here you go, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
The Raiders defeat the Chargers 26-24 on Thursday Night Football.
Oh, they certainly do. And how about Gruden, Mayock, and the Oakland Raiders in the black hole last night, which is night game at the black hole, to me, money. Bananas, however way you want it. It is the signage, the looks, the face paint, the dress, the attire. That, I love the entire look of the Raider game out at Oakland. Now, out at Oakland, mind you, for a night game. I do. And last night was perfect in the Thursday night game.
I even think it's, like, uniquely dark there.
Yes, the shadows.
Like, if the
lighting's even bad.
Yeah.
Well, but it works.
It's bad, or it's good, or it's less than it's supposed to be, or it's not pointed correctly at a football field. Is it a baseball stadium? I don't know what it is. But it just, it looks almost like they're indoors, but they're not indoors.
No.
They're in an insane asylum in Oakland.
They are, and the Oakland Raiders are able to get themselves now to, what, 5-4 on the year,
yeah,
with the 26-24 victory last night over the Los Angeles Chargers. The missed extra point by Carlson late led it to be a strange final or strange point total for the Oakland Raiders. The Chargers had an opportunity late to get themselves in a field goal range. Rivers throws his third pick of the evening. He really struggled, and the Chargers once again, how many times can we say this? Massive disappointment. We say it. You look at the town level, they should be better than what their record is. They've had some dastardly losses. I mean, the Broncos. I mean, there have been games this year. And last night, there were large stretches of that game where they dominated the ball. They, at one point in time, they had a 16-play, 8-minute drive last night in Oakland. I mean, they dominated the play in the first half, and still at halftime, they were trailing.
They are the biggest teases in the NFL. They just are. I mean, they know how to do it. It is an insanely frustrating talent that they can either start great and then fall apart, or start poorly and then revive things and drag you back in. They do it every single year. They do it inside. They did it last night. They do it inside games. Down 10-0, up 14-10, trailed again, took a lead 4 minutes left, gave up the go-ahead touchdown, had time to move back down the field, and the game ends with the Rivers pick, as you said, but he almost threw two other picks on that last drive, and they got bailed out on a defensive hold on fourth down to extend the drive again. It's just that was Chargers football in a nutshell last night.
It certainly was, and, you know, Gruden's enjoying himself. I mean, who wouldn't enjoy himself after getting a 10-year contract? But all those that said Gruden was lost after year one, look at the way that this team is playing. Mayock coming in as a talent evaluator, college draft expert for the NFL Network. You know, former player and the like steps in. A lot of those draft choices, Bogus, have been great. I mean, they've been on point. They've been absolutely fantastic. They really have been. They win it at the point of attack. They brought in some good free agents. You're not talking about Khalil Mack on a weekly basis anymore. That Raider team's fun to watch. They really are. They're a good team. They are they haven't done it with smoke and mirrors. They are a good football team. I'll tell you, they went into Lambeau Field. If Carr doesn't fumble that ball out of the end zone late first half, that's anybody's game in the second half. That's where that game kind of got out of whack from a Raider perspective. They're sitting there at 5-4. They've had back-to-back great wins in the week in the span of 5 days, both at home, one against Detroit, one against their one of their big rivals in the Los Angeles Chargers. I mean, it's been a fun year so far if you're a Raider fan.
They're pesky good, and they're going to, I think, if they keep going in this direction, they're going to be dangerous when we get to January. Right now, they're in the first spot out of the playoffs. But if you're in line right now for a 3 or 4 seed, which is right at the moment, the Texans and the Chiefs, I'd rather play Buffalo or Indy before I play Oakland. And I know and I know Buffalo's 6-2 and they've been impressive and their defense travels. But the Raiders, when you throw in what Carr can do in the air, and Jacobs on the ground and that offensive line, like they can win a game outside in the cold, bad weather. Maybe it's just recency bias here, but they're going to be, if they get in, I wouldn't want to face him in round one.
I'd agree with you about Buffalo. I'm not so sure about the Colts if Brissett's healthy. But, I mean, we're splitting hairs in terms of who's more dangerous come playoff time. It's also the opponent that you're going up against.
Yeah, and it's also November 8th.
No doubt about it. But, the fact remains is that the Raiders are a good football team and deserving of that 5-4 mark. And that was a fun Thursday night, entertaining Thursday night game last night.
Number 2.
Antonio Brown backtracks after blasting NFL.
Yeah, so Antonio Brown had a profanity-filled tweet early in the day on Thursday and, said he wants the league to clear his name, reiterated that he'll never play again, and then backtracked on that
because
initial.
Because the league treats black players poorly.
Correct. That was what Antonio Brown tweeted out. And then later on in the day,
Within like 2 hours, right?
Yeah,
basically,
around 5 o'clock Eastern time as you're getting set to have dinner. I'm just very frustrated right now with the false allegations and slander of my name. I love football. I miss it. I just want to play. I'm very emotional about that. I'm determined to make my way back to the NFL ASAP.
I mean, apologies are nice, but I've had enough of this guy. I really do. Get this meeting over with as soon as possible so he doesn't have that defense anymore and, he gets his due process in NFL circles, and then suspend him. I don't know how you word it. I don't know what you're going to go with here, but I just, the guy's a mess. He's just a mess, and I'm not saying that to oversimplify things and what he may have done off the field with different women in different locations at different times. But this is also a guy that's throwing furniture off an apartment balcony and almost struck a little kid. He goes, now twice he's done this, where he's gone on this, I hate the NFL, I'm never coming back, I'm going back to school, they're racist, they're two-faced, and then within a day, at the worst, I got really angry. I can't wait to play again.
Yeah, I've had
enough.
I would never sign Antonio Brown. I could never trust him. He's been his own worst enemy. He's been a natural disaster. And you're right, the polar opposite takes within the span of, 120 to 180 minutes is alarming. I get he's frustrated. He can't hop on Twitter and say the stuff that he's saying and then try to walk it back as quickly as he did. As he's getting set to meet with the NFL investigators next week, he's looking for his name to be cleared, that sexual assault or sexual harassment allegation against him. I think it's sexual assault allegation against him. So for Antonio Brown, the Seattle Seahawks did their due diligence on him and decided to pass. And Josh Gordon's now a member of the Seattle Seahawks. So if the Seattle Seahawks aren't willing to bring in, tell me what team is. Who's signing Antonio Brown?
Someone will.
You think so?
Yes. Yeah, the only thing that saves us if you don't want him in the NFL is the league saying he's suspended. Someone's going to sign him.
Listen, if someone wants to bring him aboard, that's fine. I'm not saying that he can't play in the league as long as his name is cleared, and didn't do anything that was, we'll see what happens with this investigation for the National Football League. But if he's cleared of all that, I don't mind Antonio Brown playing in the National Football League again. But I'll tell you, I don't know. I have a hard time thinking a team can trust him. No, they don't want distractions. They don't want headaches. He's not like he's 25 years of age any longer. We know how great he is as a player on the football field. He couldn't even last a couple weeks with the Patriots.
Nope.
couldn't even, I mean, and that's the scenario where they basically say cut off all contact to humankind when you sign up and join our team.
Yep.
Get off social media. He couldn't even stay to those rules.
Tom Brady loving him in radio
right,
interviews.
Stay in my
then,
house.
Yeah. And then within, what, a couple of days, he's out the door.
Right.
I mean, he shouldn't, teams shouldn't want him, at least for the rest of this year. But teams want him. And if they can, they will sign him.
All right, next.
Number three.
NBA fines Clippers 50,000 biggies for Doc Rivers' comments on Kawhi Leonard's health.
Here is Doc. Clippers in action last night, beat the Blazers 107-101. Kawhi played 18 points in the fourth quarter.
He played reluctantly.
Yes, he did play.
He didn't. He shouldn't have played. That D is a real issue.
Here is Doc getting asked about the fine.
You disappointed to be fined as the organization was fined?
I love getting fined. Next is like if you win a game, are you happy to win a game? Yeah, you're always disappointed. Sometimes you agree with mine, sometimes you don't. It doesn't matter. Yeah, that's the one thing I've learned.
Well, and he got fined because of everything and all the issues surrounding the Milwaukee Buck game the night before Wednesday night where he sits. When you look at Kawhi Leonard, he sits in the game, and Doc Rivers before the game said Kawhi feels great. And then the NBA, so it feels great. Why is he sitting in the game? And then everything that came along with that, being an ESPN game and billing it as Kawhi and Giannis, and that's not the way that it played out in any way, shape. And so Doc gets fined for that. Then the NBA comes out detailing the knee issue that Kawhi Leonard has right now. And then Kawhi's bothered by the fact that the NBA detailed it. Well, we're here because of load management. We're here because resting. And Andrew and I had a really good discussion about polar opposites in terms of how we look at the NBA player, the modern NBA player, and dealing with load management. You will say this, though. The NBA is just trying to clean up a mess
right.
That was created.
Yes.
And that's why they issued the statement that they did, because they want everyone to, they want to try and be as clear as possible about what Leonard's dealing with. And if he's got an issue with it, I don't care. I really don't. Because Clippers are still going to rest you. He could obviously, that knee's healthy enough to drop 18 in the fourth quarter last night against Portland. That's fine if you want to make sure that you're fresh come playoff time. But if you're going to do that, you're going to have to deal with the NBA, then detailing what you're dealing with that knee.
Yeah, and that to me is, that's the lead story of yesterday. The $50,000 fine is nothing. I mean, Doc Rivers has that. I don't know if the team can pay it instead of him. I don't know how they check on the accounting of that. The fine's not the point. The point is what the NBA wanted is there to be a name on this injury. They don't want load management being discussed anymore. With Kawhi Leonard, they wanted to attach some kind of diagnosis
Correct.
To this issue. So that's why they told us what's going on. And Kawhi can be angry. I'm indifferent to that emotion because who cares? Maybe he even was okay with it. I don't know. But the point is now we have something to say about why Kawhi Leonard misses his next game. Nope, it's that patella tendon again. It's load management again. It might be nothing. It's still nonsense. But there's a different word choice now out there, and that's what the NBA wanted.
And they got it, right? So the NBA wanted it. They got it, and they put it out there, and they want to try and end all the conversation and the discussion about it. I don't know if it's necessarily going to completely go away. I still think it's a problem for Adam Silver a little bit less now, though, with the adjustment of the schedule for the modern NBA player. So maybe they could get a little bit more rest and less of these strenuous games in which you're playing multiple games in multiple days and try to minimize that and give it a little bit more of lengthening out the schedule a little bit as well. So the NBA hopes they're done with the whole Kawhi Leonard load management Clippers scenario here moving forward, and probably not going to be the case. It's probably going to rear its ugly head multiple times during the course of the year, but they handled it the way they handled it yesterday. So come back. We're going to talk a little college football. Tommy Bowden is going to join Andrew and myself, ACC Network analyst. We remember Clemson, former Clemson football coach as well. It's Taz and the Moose with you. You got NFL picks coming your way later on. Bawami, I think, is going to make his appearance. You got your Ask the Pros question of the day. Remember, hop online, ask it. Bawami will provide an answer that comes your way later. Taz, Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Sunday, the NFL on CBS features the Chiefs taking on the Titans, or an NFC encounter between the Lions and the Bears, all beginning with JB and the guys in the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. Tommy Bowden will join Andrew and myself here momentarily. Bogish has got an update for you this morning and everything that's going on. What's up, Andrew?
Moose, back and forth they went on Thursday Night Football in Oakland. The Raiders jumped to a 10-0 lead on the Chargers. They took their last lead on an Austin Eckler TD catch with 4 minutes to go, but here came Oakland one more time.
The Chargers show a 9-man front against this set. The hand, big hole, first down, end zone, touchdown, Jacobs, touchdown, Raiders, would you believe it?
Brent Musburger, Raiders Radio, that came with 1:02 to go. Daniel Carson, though, missed the ensuing extra point, so the Chargers could have driven for the winning field goal, not the tying one, but Phillip Rivers heaved his third pick of the night. The Raiders escaped 26-24. Oakland remains firmly in the playoff chase, but the Bolts are now 4-6, which may require winning the rest of the way. The NBA still okay that Kawhi Leonard didn't play 2 nights ago against the Bucks, but thought Doc Rivers discussed the situation poorly, so the Clippers hit with a $50,000 fine yesterday. Leonard wasn't happy postgame that the NBA revealed the exact knee issue he's apparently dealing with. He did play against the Blazers, but it was Lou Williams with the biggest shot for the Clips.
It's important to win. You heard the president.
That's a lie. That's the wrong cut. You would have heard Noah Eagle on Clippers radio. 26 points for Williams, 27 for Kawhi in the 107-101 decision over the Blazers. Miami won in Phoenix, 124-108. The Spurs outscored the Thunder, 121-112. And Boston won in Charlotte, 108-87. Now to the clip that you just heard for a second. That was new USC AD Mike Bone introduced yesterday.
Of course.
His first order of business is deciding the fate of football coach Clay Helton.
It's important to win. You heard the president talking about winning. And I'm not trying to add more pressure to him or the student athletes that represent him, but we always want to finish strong. Good programs. Finish strong.
You always want to have a clean feed, too, from the podium introducing your new AD.
Yeah.
So there is that as well.
That was not a good feed, and I would not think that you feel all that good if you're Clay Helton right now.
No, not even a little bit. As expected, Tiger Woods using one of his four captain's picks on himself. He is also adding Tony Finau, Gary Woodland, and Patrick Reed to the President's Cup squad that plays the international team next month in Australia. And it certainly looked like Pete's Islanders would extend their winning streak to 11 last night, up 3-0 on the Penguins through two periods. But Pittsburgh rallies a 4-3 stunner in overtime. Moose.
All right, let's welcome aboard right now Tommy Bowden, ACC Network analyst, former head coach, running that Clemson program. Hey, Coach, Andrew Bogish, Mark Malusis, thank you for a couple minutes this morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got it. Good Friday, and we got a great weekend of college football ahead of us. We really do. Let's start here, though, Coach. I'm curious, did you have an issue at all with Clemson? And we know there's a lot of ways to a lot of season left to go, but did you have an issue with Clemson sitting at 5 in the initial college football playoff ranking system?
You know, not really. Based on strength of schedule and performance this year, I think they're where they need to be. They've gotten better, but they did have the early win, which Ohio State has not, and Alabama has not. So, of course, LSU by strength of schedule. And Penn State, their schedule is so, a little bit tougher. So, no, I had no problem right now with where they are.
Why do you think Lawrence has struggled as I mean, last year, and certainly is going to be when he comes out in a year from now, into the NFL, he's going to be the number one quarterback taken. And a lot of people think he's the best quarterback prospect that college football has seen in like 20 years. Why do you think Lawrence has struggled and has not dominated the way that many people thought he was going to dominate this year, Coach?
Well, I think a lot of it was self-imposed pressure. He had so much success as a true freshman. Then his performance in the national championship game and what they did offensively versus Alabama. Then the expectations were so high. I even thought he's coming into the season as the preseason favorite for the Heisman. And I think expectations were so high, it's hard to remain execution at the level that he had, especially how he finished versus Alabama. And he threw some interceptions, and all of a sudden a little negative publicity. Pressure builds on him, but it looks like he's settled back into the guy he was last year.
Coach, let me go back to the Clemson college football playoff rankings question. Does Clemson care that Clemson's number five, or do they actually kind of like the added motivation of being out of the top four to start?
No, I think one of Dabo's, I think all head coaches, the ones that are really successful, are great motivators. He's a great motivator, and it's not like his team needed it. But, man, what a great tool they need down the stretch to go to his team and say, hey, again, us against the world, we don't get any respect. And plus, you got to remember, Dabo was a walk-on. I was a walk-on. They played with an edge. He has never been a coordinator. He tried to get coordinators when he was with me. So he coaches with an edge. And now, again, no respect. Oh, it's. I feel sorry for NC State this week.
You know, you factor – yeah, exactly right. You factor everything in here, Coach. Up until this stage, I know you follow the ACC Network, but you're on the ACC Network, but you follow all of college football. Who do you think the best team in the country is right now?
Oh, I think it's LSU and Ohio State right now, based on who they played, based on strength of schedule, how they played, margin of victory. As Urban Meyer said, you know, it's who have you beaten? And I've always, most head coaches, that's, if they were on the committee, that would be their number one priority. Hey, who have you beaten them? And margin of victory, how bad have you beat them? So based on that, yes, I think LSU and Ohio State are the best. I would about have to bracket them. If you made me pick one, I'd probably pick LSU over Ohio State if I were picking.
Let's stay with those Tigers and obviously the huge game with Alabama on Saturday. It certainly seems, Tommy, that Tua is going to play, but I can't imagine he's 100%. Where do you think his game needs to be, 65%, 80%, for them to actually win this game against LSU on Saturday, or tomorrow already? Wow.
Yeah, I think he'll be honest with you, I think he'll be close to Dylan, you know, for a long 32 years of coach and 12 as a head coach, having quarterbacks, and, or I should say skilled athletes, go through a high ankle sprain. I think he'll be close to 100%. I think at least 90%. And I think that's good enough and high enough percentage for him to be effective versus LSU. He's going to have to be. I don't think there are other guys that could beat LSU, but I think him at 90% can, because right now, you know, he might be the Heisman Trophy favorite. He was surely was going to the injury. So at 90%, I think he's adequate to beat LSU in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, a lot of people are giving Joe Burrow, the LSU quarterback, a lot of love for being the Heisman Trophy favorite right now, the 30 touchdowns, the 4 interceptions. What's impressed you by the LSU quarterback, with the play of the LSU quarterback, Coach?
Well, a couple things. No, took the rate, close to 80%, unheard of. So his accuracy, that includes runnable balls. You've got good skill. Don't throw it where they got to dive on the ground, jump up, and fall down. Throw it where they can run and make plays. He does that. Throws under pressure. They've played a tremendous schedule. He's received more defensive pressure than any quarterback this year. And to be close to 80% with that kind of pressure, then the management skills, knowing the offense, things like that. But that would be the most impressive to me. Accuracy under pressure. Against the people he's played.
Isn't it amazing it took LSU this long to find a guy that can play the position that well?
Well, you know, it cost the first guy's job. Les Miles wouldn't do it. Ed Orgeron wouldn't do it for the first few years. And finally he said, hey, I like it here. Let me do what Nick Saban did. and other people throwing the football. If he's going to cost me my job, but let me try to see if I can imitate him. And they finally made a decision. They hired a guy that they felt comfortable with to give him the reins. And, he made a wise decision. But I'm surprised it took him this long. That's why maybe Nick Saban's still at Alabama. He learned a little quicker.
You know, Tommy, getting a sense here, just by the initial conversation on the game, Tua plays, he's at 90%. Do you think Alabama wins that game at home against LSU tomorrow afternoon if Tua's at 90% playing?
Yeah, I really do. With the week off and preparation, both coaches are great. Obviously, preparing with open week, I think Nick Saban a little bit in his favor because of his background, the pros, and the ability to analyze film in a short amount of time. I think that's an advantage for a college coach that's coaching in the pros. And then, so I just like the home environment, the extra week off, and I think it'll be a well played game, back and forth, lead changes, but I think Alabama comes out on top at the end.
Tommy, how would you handle a game of this significance as a head coach of either one of these schools? Do you Can you make it feel like just a regular game, or do you have to kind of own the magnitude to have your guys ready for kickoff?
Well, you have to try to as a head coach. You know you can't because of what they're reading, what they're hearing in class, what their family and friends and relatives will tell them on the phone when they call home, you know, social media. No, it won't be a normal game, and the players will know it's not a normal game. Yes, Nick Saban's going to say, hey, it's only one. We got another one next week. Play them one at a time. You know, all the things that coaches say, but the players will know. LSU's and Alabama's it's bigger than life this week.
You know, do you marvel, you know, want to get your thoughts on two other undefeated teams that are battling out on Saturday, and that's up in Minnesota. It's an early game tomorrow, noon kickoff Eastern time, and the Golden Gophers entertaining Penn State. How about the job that P.J. Fleck has done with that Golden Gopher program here? I mean, the 8-0 start is historic for success for that program, and now Penn State comes to town. But really, kind of being the program builder and what he's been able to accomplish early on in his run up there in Minnesota, Coach.
Well, you know, first of all, it's guiding what coaches like him deserve. But again, with their agent smart, I'm sure their agent called a couple weeks ago and said, hey, Florida State is opening. They have called me. What do you want me to tell PJ? And all of a sudden, a 7-year contract and more money. So he was the first of the guys to reap the benefits of Willie Taggart's departure. But he deserves it. And when you put yourself in a position, a place like Minnesota, win like he does, these things happen. You either go to another place and make a lot of money, or you can make a lot of money where you're at. But you have to do a good job and get their attention. And that's what he's done. He did it at the MAC school, and now he's done it at a Big Ten school. And he's either going to do it at Minnesota, continually do it because he likes it, or he's going to end up in the SEC or at a Penn State, Michigan, or a little bit bigger Big Ten school with a more tradition and history and money.
Well, you brought up Florida State first. What's the, maybe not a specific name, but the profile of a coach that makes sense to you taking over the Noles?
Well, the athletic director, you know, he's kind of new in his position. You can tell because he says, hey, we want a coach who can win a national championship. Well, yeah, that means you probably need to get one that's either played in a playoff game or has won a national championship. And I'm sure initially when that job came open, he says, oh, yeah, listen, PJ Fleck's agent called. And I'm just giving you a situation that probably happened and said that he would be interested. And all of a sudden, they fire Willie Taggart. They're going to have this great A list of coaches. They say, "Wait a minute, they're not coming." So, I think when he made the statement that, "Hey, we want a coach who can win a national championship," he's going to see that he's going to be to his B list pretty soon. The Bob Stoops, PJ Fleck, and maybe Matt Campbell, Iowa State. Yeah, those guys are not going to be as interested as their agents said they were before they got their raise.
You know, Coach, is the Florida State job as attractive as many believe that it is, or no?
Oh, yes, because of location. The talent in the state of Florida is unbelievable, and they've proven they've done it. They've achieved a high level of success over a long period of time. There's got to be some intangibles that you have that make you capable of doing that. I know my father was a big part of it, but Jimbo said, hey, I can go in there and do the same thing. So if you get the right guy, it is a great job. They've got the second-best talent in the ACC right now behind Clemson. Everybody's behind Clemson, but it's surely enough to go in there if it's the right guy and have immediate success and get that recruiting going back like it has in the past.
You know, and listen, he's getting a lot of money after he got fired, but what about Willie Taggart and those, you know, and you know that program, you know the ACC very, very well. What about only having 21 games to kind of, you know, mold that program in his like? Do you think that was enough time for Willie Taggart?
I think there were some signs that indicated that it was not going to head in that direction. The Bowden family are really fond of Willie Taggart because of the way he treated my father and tried to bring him back in the fold. Went over to the house more than once, trying to get him out to practice. But at Oregon, number one penalized team in the nation, he was there. Go to Florida State, your first year, you're the number one penalized team in the nation. Miami game, you have a bunch of penalties. Last year, the tackle for losses, they led the nation. This year, I think they're leading the nation or close to it, and tackle for losses allowed. That's got nothing to do with culture. It's got nothing to do with how Jimbo left. It's got nothing to do with talent level. that's putting a hat on a hat assignment-wise at the offensive line and getting Cam Akers, a great back, to the line of scrimmage. That penalties followed him. That wasn't good. And then the tackle for losses and performance on defense. So, and losing to teams where you had better talent. Things were not looking good, unfortunately, after a year and a half. And I thought it might have been done at the end of the season. I didn't think they would do it now.
Tommy, I want to ask you one more on a coaching search, and that is in the Big Ten, and that's Rutgers, who are, you know, had an interview with a former Scarlet Knight head coach, Greg Schiano, earlier in the week. Now, when Schiano was there, they were in, obviously, two different conferences. Now they're in the Big Ten. We know they've struggled mightily in the Big Ten conference. You know, you think that's, and we know the success he had there at Rutgers. What about going back to a guy that's already been there? Do you like that idea of a program?
Sometimes. Call Connecticut and Randy Edsall and see how that's working out right now.
That's a good point.
I don't think it's going good. Sometimes it does, more so than not. Now, Mack Brown, the jury's still out, but you know, the immediate success that he's had, he's caught enthusiasm. I think that's a little bit more doable situation and with better foundation than what Rutgers has as far as what North Carolina has in the ACC. So with Mack Brown, I think it's going to work out. Randy Edsall, it doesn't look like it is. So I think you flip a coin on a situation like this. But Greg Schiano is a really good coach, and he's done it there. He knows what it takes. But again, they're fighting teams with a bigger stick. They're in the Big Ten now as opposed to what he was facing when he was there.
Tommy Bowden, ACC Network analyst, former head coach of college football. Hey, Tommy, thank you for the time this morning. Have yourself a wonderful Friday. Enjoy all the action tomorrow, all right?
Hey, November the 8th, Bobby Bowden's 90th birthday today. I'm headed over to Tallahassee to eat oatmeal with him.
There you go. How's Dad doing?
Oh, health is good. Mine's good. I'll go over this weekend and watch him sleep through a whole day of games.
That's a great line. Well, send him our best and happy birthday to your dad, 90 years young. That's fantastic.
Hey, have a good weekend.
You got it. Thank you, Coach. That's awesome. That is great. And his dad,
90.
I mean, 90 years old. And as we were talking to Tommy Bowden, news came out. Bogish picked the Terrapins plus 43.5.
Looking
Chase
smarter
Young
by the second.
Yeah, Chase Young will not be playing this weekend for Ohio State, as there might be an NCAA violation dating back to 2018. So he will not be playing against Maryland tomorrow.
No, certainly not ideal for the Buckeyes. This is arguably the best player in college football.
Yes.
I mean, if you haven't just seen him stand next to other college football players, you've missed out. So does it matter tomorrow against Maryland? Only if you're taking the Terps and the points. It matters once we get past Maryland with Penn State and Michigan and national semifinals and national title games looming for the Buckeyes. Obviously, the universe for them changes if Young can't play again this year.
It's a Friday morning. You know where you're at. Taz and the Moose, Bogish in for Taz. We got NFL picks and the great Bawami coming your way next, right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
It is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Friday morning on CBS Sports Radio. Time right now to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Sam in Raleigh. Just out found out that Bawami is answering the Ask the Pros question of the day. Super pumped up about that. You should be. So, Bawami, always wanted to know, could you play in any era of the NBA?
The great Bawami could have played in any era, any style, any difficulty, from the 1912s to now. Thank you for that question, but as you must.
There you go. So the answer from Bawami is yes, in any era of the NBA.
In particular, the 1912s, which, as we know, were the heyday of the NBA, the 1912s.
Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Mike, good job tracking down Bawami. for him playing a role. Ask the pros. I know he, asking for a little bit of an addition this week to his schedule was a lot, right?
Yes, a lot.
Mike, do we think Bouami was still up from Thursday, or was he awake starting his Friday when you finally reached him?
He was starting his Friday, absolutely. Bouami, and Pete would know better than I would about this, but I think Bouami sleeps during the day and is up at night.
He's nocturnal.
Yes.
Okay.
I think Bouami's always awake, from what I heard.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, really?
Always awake.
Oh, he never sleeps.
He still sleeps.
He manages
sleeps
no
with
loads.
His eyes wide open.
Is that...
Sleeps with his eyes open.
Oh, yes. Eyes open.
There you go. Nice. Very good. Well, Bouami, I mean, hell of a question from Sam down in Raleigh. Tremendous answer by Bouami. And what you would expect. Bouami is a very, very confident individual and believes that his talents could translate in any era, including the 1912s in the NBA.
Yeah. The 1912s to the nows.
Yes.
And anywheres in between,
correct.
There's Bouami.
That's it. That's exactly right. Here you go, some NFL picks.
The Taz and Moose picks are for fun only. This is not for gambling purposes, just some chuckles and a good time. Enjoy the Taz and Moose picks now. Listen irresponsibly.
It's now time for the Taz and Moose NFL picks. The three picks you need to know.
All righty. So a week ago, Taz went 2-1, so he's still hot as a firecracker, 19-8 on the year. I bounced back, 3-0 last week. Nice, 11-16 on the season. Bouami is still perfect on the year, as you would expect, undefeated. It's amazing what Bouami can do in terms of an analyst. In the era of gambling, is an uptick around the country. Bouami is just ahead of the game. It's remarkable, is it not?
Promo code Bouami.
That's... All right, I will begin. All right, pick number one for me. We are going to go... we're going to go to the Monday Night Affair. I'm going to take the Seahawks. I'm going to take the 6 points on the road in San Francisco against the 49ers, and I'll tell you why. Anytime I can get Wilson plus points on the road against the 49ers, you've seen this Seahawks team be able to adjust and adapt. I don't think the rush is going to be as great against Wilson because of his escapability. That offense has gotten more dynamic for the Seahawks as we've gone around here. It's an amazing Monday night game. It really is, to the point where you could actually deal with Booger McFarland on the as an analyst. But because you're so locked into the game.
Shot.
Yeah, unnecessary. You're right about that. But I'll take the Seahawks plus 6. That's game number one for me. All right, Mike, what's Taz got game one?
So first game, he likes the Green Bay Packers. Going up against the Panthers, Packers minus 5 for Taz.
All right, Bogus, what do you got?
You know, that's interesting. I had the Packers minus 6.5. Either way, I like them against the Panthers, as Taz does.
I got
in
5.5.
Okay. We're all over the place.
All right, so you got, you like the Packers minus 5.5.
You get whatever the number is, I like the Packers.
All right, so there you have it. All right, pick number 2 for me. I'm going to take the Lions on the road in Chicago against the Bears, laying 2.5. Now, you've heard me moan and groan about the Lions. They're better than a 3-4-1 team. They certainly are. And they had a tough loss last week, absolutely, on the road in Oakland against the Raiders. They now go on the road in Chicago against the Bears. And Trubisky should be okay offensively against the Lions. Lions defense isn't particularly good. But I do think the Lions are going to be able to put up some points. I do. I know how good that Bears defense is. I think they win this game by a field goal. So I'm going to take the Lions. I'm going to take the 2.5 points on the road in Chicago. That's game number 2 for me. What do you got, Mike?
All right, so for Taz, game number 2, he likes Arizona plus 4.5. Arizona on the road versus Tampa. So Cardinals plus 4.5.
Andrew?
Interesting choice from Taz. I'm going to go with the Rams, Moose. I have him at minus 3.5 in Pittsburgh on Sunday. We gave Mike Tomlin some deserved love earlier in the show, but I like the Rams on the road to score some points on this Pittsburgh team, and the Steelers not to score points with their backup QB still out there. Obviously, no Ben Roethlisberger all year long. So give me the Rams minus 3.5 against the Steelers.
Rams minus 3.5 against the Steelers. That's game number 2 for you. All right, game number 3 for me. I'm going to take the Browns laying 3 at home against the Buffalo Bills. And I'll tell you why. Because sometimes you look at a spread and you say, well, why are the Browns a 3-point favorite at home against Buffalo? Buffalo's 6-2. The Browns are 2-6. The Browns are riddled with distractions and conversation and Odell and Mayfield and Kitchens and the way the guys are being used. The reason why is I do think the Browns can match up against Buffalo. You saw Adrian Peterson, the Redskins, last week against the Bills have some success against them running the football. And I think the Browns are going to be able to run it on Buffalo. I do. Allen and that Bills offense, not exactly dynamic either. Oh, for some reason, I think the Browns are going to get their third win of the year. I think they're going to drop Buffalo to 6-3. I'm going to take Cleveland. I'm going to lay the field goal at home against the Bills. That's pick number 3 for me.
Final pick for Taz. He likes Baltimore -10 versus the Bengals. Baltimore on the road. Again, the Ravens -10.
Ravens -10. All right, Andrew?
I thought long and hard about Browns Bills for similar reasons to you, but I can't trust the Browns like you're going to trust them to make any pick in either direction in that one. So okay. I went to the AFC South. I've got the Saints laying 13.5 in Atlanta. The Falcons are done. They're dead. They're done. Matt Ryan, if he plays, not healthy. The Saints have Drew Brees. Alvin Kamara comes back. They're coming off their bye. I'll lay those almost to that 2-touchdown edge and take the Saints to win on Sunday in Atlanta.
All right, so you're taking the Saints laying the 13.5. That's a big spread. And yeah. It's gone up as the season's got as the week has got along. So you like New Orleans laying the 13.5. All right, so to recap here, Mike, Taz's three selections are?
So we've got the Packers -5.5, the Cardinals +4.5, and the Ravens -10.
All right, and your three picks, Bogish, are?
What did I just have? The Saints -13.5, Green Bay -something in the neighborhood of 5.5. There was some debate on that, and the Rams -3.5 in Pittsburgh.
All right, I'm taking the Seahawks in the Monday night game on the road in San Francisco against the 49ers. The line there is 6. I'm taking those 6 points, and I'm taking Seattle. That's pick number 1 for me. Pick number 2 for me, I'm taking the Browns laying the 3 at home against the Buffalo Bills. And I'm going to take the 2.5 with the Detroit Lions on the road in Chicago against Mitchell Trubisky and the Chicago Bears. There are your 9 picks. Oh, Bawami again.
Wait, what?
Double duty. We wait. Anticipation.
Did he fall asleep again?
Individuals and special greetings to Taz. It is I, the great Bawami, the Detroit Lions, +2.5 in Chicago. The great Bawami has no idea how this is even possible. The Bears don't have a quarterback. Lions, +2.5, as you must.
There you go. I like that. Me and Bawami were sharing a brain this week. We both like the Lions +2.5 points on the road in Chicago, and he's dead on correct. I mean, Bawami, the one thing is, he's a hell of an analyst. He's right about that. The Bears do not have a quarterback. Trubisky's terrible. Turn off the TVs at the Halas Center and everything like that. Doesn't want to hear the criticism any longer. I mean, he's been downright brutal. Brutal this year.
He deserves all. I mean, everything that's been said about him is basically all valid.
No doubt.
So if you want us to be quiet, make us be quiet.
Yes.
But, Mando, I hope you mush the Bawami this weekend.
Why?
He's rolling. Now he's got you with company on this game.
I was 3-0 last week. Hold on a second now. I'm hot as a firecracker. 1 week. You got to make it 2 in a row.
I'm not criticizing.
Got to get to myself to 6-0 the last couple weeks.
I'm not critiquing your overall skills.
Well, my record's been terrible. You can criticize that all you want.
But if you somehow knock the Bawami off this hot streak, I don't want to be here for that.
Well, would it be Bawami knocking me or Bawami?
No.
I had no idea where Bawami was going with his selection.
You should have.
Oh, I should have. Thank you.
It's unpredictable.
He's working for CBS HQ now.
Remember, download that podcast each and every day. Radio.com, Apple Podcast, and Stitcher, and that'll do it for us. Our thanks to Mike and Pete across the way. Andrew, great job, brother.
Thank you, Moose.
Tommy Bowden for joining us earlier on the program. You guys on the phones and on social media, we thank you for all the love and the support. Taz should be back with us on Monday morning. Enjoy the rest of your Friday. Have a great weekend. Till Monday, everybody. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.